to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. We have it for you on the screen as well. I want to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Believe that there's a word that God has for us there. Mark 4, 35 through 41. Here's what the Bible says. On that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." Let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in a boat, and other boats were with him. Verse 37 says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion." So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." I want to go back to verse 40, where Jesus says these words, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I want to preach on this theme of thought as we begin our brand new sermon series called The Answer. And I want to call today's message, "Fear is not my future." Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, "Hey neighbor, I got a word of encouragement for you. Fear will not be your future." Find somebody else across the room, say, "Hey neighbor, I got a word for you. Fear will not be your future." Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. Would you speak to us now in this moment? Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us clarity? Would you encourage us through your word? Remove any distraction that the enemy would try to plant to get in the way of us hearing your life-changing and rhema word. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for God's word today. Fear is not my future. Family, I want to begin our sermon today and our time together today giving you somewhat of an introspective look at our life and kind of how our life went this week. Have you ever had a week where it feels like everything that could go wrong did go wrong? Just by a show of hands. Y'all, this week, I promise you, we were getting ready to go first thing Tuesday morning, taking the kids to school. And I go out there and it's been raining cats and dogs all week long. It's dreary, you know, it's all that happening outside. And I go outside to start the car up and the car does not turn over, the battery was acting up. And how many of y'all know there's never a convenient time for the battery to not work? Come on. Right? Right before having to take the kids to school. So we had to jump into the other car by the grace of God. God has blessed us to have another vehicle, so I won't gonna complain, but it just was not convenient. So we got to take the kids to school in that vehicle. Then I come back home and I try to take all the stuff that was in the other car and put it in the one that actually is working, y'all. And in the process of doing that, y'all, I went to adjust the seat because I had to go in through the back seat to get all my equipment because the battery was dead. The trunk hatch wasn't opening and all this tech stuff is connected electronically and all that good stuff. And so as I'm doing that and adjusting the seat, I happen to be leaning over in the pathway of that seat when I adjusted it, and that seat flipped forward so fast and hit me dead smack in the eye. I felt like I got hit by Mike Tyson. Now, I've never been punched in the face, but I wonder if that's how it felt, right? And it left a little cut on my eye, right? But I didn't know it was there. And then I go inside, and immediately as I go inside, Ariel sees my face and she starts going crazy. "Oh my gosh, what is going on?" And I'm like, "Yo, what's happening? Your face is bloody." And I touch my face, and it's blood on the hand. So now, you know, in this moment, you know, you kind of feel like, yeah, feel a little strong right now, you know? Because you don't know what happened, you know? Hey, I got in a fight, but I won, you know what I mean? Got in a fight with a seat, but I lost, you know? And so it's crazy, y'all, because the blood going everywhere. So she's trying to take care of that and get all that situated right. And then, so that was on Tuesday. And then literally 2 days later, I come home and I see her sitting in the room and she's looking straight at the closet like I'm looking at this camera. Shout out to all the overflow people and the people watching online. I'm looking at you the way she was looking at the closet. And I'm trying to figure out, what is she doing? What is she looking for? What is she looking at? And I'm like, "Darling, what are you looking at?" She was like, "There was a bug." And so it's like, "All right, what kind of bug? Like, was it small? Was it big?" Because I'm thinking like, man, this thing got a hold on you right now, you know? And so she was like, "It's big enough." But, you know, I won't tell you what kind of bug it was, but it was nice size. And so now, you know, we're in here rummaging through the closet. So now you know, when you kind of scared, but you try to play it off and act like you're real strong, you start hitting stuff. Yes. So we hitting the clothes in there, and then, you know, she's like, I think we need to take everything out. Now, I didn't tell her this, but this is what I was thinking. Lord, no, I don't, we don't need to take everything out this closet, because I don't want this surprise to come out of here, and trying to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't need this. Right? So we take the stuff out, and we don't see it, this, that, and the third. But it was interesting, y'all, because we're talking about this whole experience, and y'all, she starts praying. I'm talking praying in this moment. I pray against you, bug. I'm just saying, like, what is going on here? Calling down heaven. I'm talking like intercessory prayer. 21 days of prayer, fasting prayer, if y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking going in and she prayed prayers like this. I command you in the name of Jesus that if you're not already dead, you need to come out so I can kill you. I said, darling, you praying for the bug to come out so you can kill it. That's crazy. That's bold gangster faith right there. Come out so I can kill you. Golly. If nobody knew the context of this right now, like, right? So the bug doesn't come out or whatever case may be. And so I'm having to go into the kitchen. And then I hear her say something else to the bug. She said, I will not live in fear in my own house. I said, my God. I mean, all right. I feel scared, you know? And it got me to wrestle with this question. How many of us are living in the life that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, paid for our life? How many of us are living in the life that he purchased and provided for us on Calvary's cross, living on in this life in fear? How many of us are going to work in fear? How many of us are in our marriages in fear? How many of us are going to school in fear? How many of us are living in fear? And some of us might be like, Pastor, that's just a little bug, you know, that won't nothing to be scared about. Can I let you know something? It only takes one little thing to cause fear to erupt on the inside of you. So for her, it was a bug. For some of us, it was a text message. Come on. For some of us, it was an email. You got 2 weeks left on your job. For some of us, it was one diagnosis. For some of us, it was one bad grade that sent us spiraling. For some of us, it was one comment that somebody said to us that derailed our whole day. How many of y'all know it does not take a whole lot for fear to find your address? It does not take a whole lot for fear to find out where you are. All of us under the sound of my voice, myself included, will be prone to experiencing fear. Everybody say fear. All of us are people who will find ourselves experiencing the knock of fear on our door. Fear can reach anyone. Fear can reach any age. Fear can reach any background. It doesn't matter who you are. Fear can find you. And it found the disciples here in Mark chapter 4. The context here is that in Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples were leaving a area, a village or a city, if you will, doing ministry, bringing the good news of the kingdom to different areas. And as they're concluding ministry in one area, the Bible says in Mark 4:35 that they're now preparing to make their way to another area to do more ministry. And Jesus says in verse 35 and 36, let us cross over to the other side. It says, on that day when evening had come, meaning the sun had more than likely gone down, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. But as they are crossing over and as they get in the boat, the Bible helps us to see around verse 36 and 37 that as they did that, a storm came out of nowhere. It was all of a sudden. How many of y'all know under the sound of my voice that storms can pop up in your life out of nowhere? How many of y'all had things happen that you did not plan on happening this week alone? I did not plan on the battery being dead when I went out to the car. I did not plan on getting in a fight with a car seat. We did not plan on seeing a bug. She saw it, I didn't, you know. We did not plan on getting the diagnosis. You did not plan on that person saying they want to file for divorce. You did not plan on that bad grade. You did not plan on that particular thing happening. These disciples did not plan on this storm coming out of nowhere. Now, to give you some context to the story here, the area where the disciples and Jesus were, storms were oftentimes common. And the reason why they were common is because where they were situated, where the water in the sea was situated, it was surrounded by mountains and it was surrounded by highlands, which predisposed that area to experiencing strong and intense and sudden storms of all kinds. And the Bible says that they were sailing in the evening. That's important to see. The reason why is because most wise fishermen would sail through this sea that they are in at nighttime. They would not sail during the day because during the day is typically when these, if you will, pop-up storms would happen. These intense storms would happen. So in their mind, they're thinking we can avoid the storm by going at a certain time. These storms that would hit this area would oftentimes come about in the form of 20-foot waves and all this, these strong currents and strong winds. And some of these men who happened to be on this boat were experienced fishermen. So it wasn't like they had never been in a storm before. But this storm had become so bad that, y'all, it was causing water to fill the boat. And the boat, essentially, we could probably deduce from this text, was probably beginning to sink to some degree, or was at least being rocked back and forth. Have you ever had a moment where it felt like life was hitting you in such of a way where your life was being rocked back and forth? Where one day you were good and the next day you were not. Where one day it felt like you were here and the next day it felt like you hit rock bottom. Anybody ever been here before where it feels like the waves of life come in? And the Bible says that the disciples were overwhelmed. We see that from some of the remarks that they have, that they were experiencing this intense storm. Now, before we kind of dismiss what the disciples were feeling by even having a thought, they were experienced fishermen. Why would they be afraid of a storm? They've been in their fair share of storms before. Here's the reason why this is important to understand, that just because you've had past experiences does not always bring comfort in the present reality. I know in many ways we say yesterday prepared us for today. That is true to some degree, but there were some things that are happening today that yesterday could not prepare you for. And for the disciples to be afraid, it shows that this storm was intense and strong and sudden and unexpected. And not only is it a strong storm, y'all, it's happening at night where they can't see their way through. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you felt like you were walking through darkness? Yeah. Where you could not make sense out of things? Where it feels like you could not see a few steps ahead? You couldn't see what's going to happen next month? You couldn't see what's going to happen next week? You couldn't even see what's going to happen tomorrow or today? Felt like you were walking through a fog, if you will. And the disciples are so distraught. Watch this. They go to a sleeping Jesus in verse 38, and they say these words, "Don't you care that we are going to die? Don't you care that we're going to die?" I want you to see what they're doing here. Because of this storm that they're in that has caused them to be in fear, the fear has now caused them to question whether or not God, in fact, through Jesus, cares about them. The storm, which has caused fear, has now, hear me, distorted their perspective. Why is this important? Because one of the things that fear does is fear messes with our perspective. One person said it like this: fear is false evidence appearing real. It distorts how you look at things. How many of y'all have ever been afraid that something was going to happen only to discover it never happened? Come on. I'm talking about some of us were just, we were fearful about worst case scenario, and worst case scenario never in fact happened. But in the process, you wasted energy and you wasted time, and it robs you of sleep and it robs you of resource. You were in this place where fear was robbing you. And maybe you were in that place just like the disciples, where you're saying things like this: God, do you even care with what I'm walking through? Matter of fact, here's a question that some of us might have said and are saying: God, if you're real, why is this happening? Well, if you really love me, why did they walk out on me? Well, if you really are for me, why did I get the cancer diagnosis? Uh-huh. If you're really for me, why are my kids having issues? Well, if you're really for me, why am I getting the bad grades? If you're really for me and you're really for us, why is all this tragedy happening around us? Why is all these shootings happening? Why is my relationship having challenges? And why is my relationship status still in a place that I don't want it to be? Fear can cause us to have more questions than answers. And can I help you understand something, family? As you and I are on this journey called life, and even as followers of Jesus, we will find ourselves in storms like the disciples. I don't care who you are. You and I, at some point in life, will find ourselves walking through storms of all kinds. And there's two types of storms that I want you to take note of. All of us will go through one or two of these types of storms. Some storms come as a result of obedience. It's just life-lifing. But there's some storms that come and we find ourselves in as a result of disobedience. But every storm has a lesson that God wants us to learn. So Jonah found himself in a storm in the book of Jonah 1, 2, 3, and 4. He found himself going through a storm simply because of the fact that he was running from God. He was disobeying God. Can I lead you? Can I help us understand something? Our disobedience can put us on a path to destruction. If we're not careful and we run against God and we run away from God, we can find ourselves on a path to destruction. And I know we live in a day and time where we like to spiritualize things. Oh, the devil made me do it. Man, the devil is doing it. No, let's be honest. Some of the things that we find ourselves in is not because of the devil. It's because of decisions. Come on here. It's not because of the devil. I'm not saying that there's not a real enemy. No, we talk about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. Yes, absolutely. We face opposition from the enemy, but sometimes the opposition of the enemy is simply bad decisions. Ain't nobody, y'all getting real quiet. Ain't nobody tell you to date that person? Now we got a storm of dysfunction. The Lord told you don't mess with them. But you said they look too good. They took me out. They opened up my door. They complimented me. This got to be the one. The Lord's like, no. Some storms we find ourselves in because of disobedience. Meaning this, maybe it wasn't God who told you to take that job. Come on here. That just because it pays a lot does not mean it's a gift from God. Did you hear what I just said? Some things the enemy will use that sound good, that taste good, that look good, that appeal to your senses, but it ain't God. And you and I need to be able to have the wisdom to discern the difference between what's good and what's God. Some storms we find ourselves in because of disobedience. I want you to write this down. What we don't learn in peaceful times, we sometimes have to learn in painful times. So sometimes, unfortunately, it takes some of us to fall flat on our face to learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. Sometimes it takes me losing some things for me to gain wisdom. Sometimes we have to have an experience like the prodigal son in Luke 15, who went and squandered all the wealth that he got from his father and went to a distant land and spent all his resources, and it led to him being a rock bottom, so much to the point where he's eating from the same places that pigs would eat from. Because sometimes when you and I are not learning the lesson of God through obedience, sometimes our disobedience leads to painful lessons. So some storms, family, we find ourselves in because of bad decisions. But then there's other storms that we find ourselves in because of obedience. This storm that the disciples find themselves in is one of them. They found themselves in this storm because Jesus told them to get in the boat. Now, I don't know about y'all, that's crazy. Because I'm like, Jesus, this storm is here, and we in this storm because of you. Y'all real holy. Y'all got a problem with that, huh? Because some of y'all would be on that boat. Jesus, you did all these miracles, and you know all things. You knew good and well this storm was going to come, and you told us to get in the boat anyway. Come on. You set us up. Anybody ever felt like God set you up? God, you knew exactly what you... We don't like to admit it, but that's what you think sometimes. God, you knew... Lord, you knew my battery was going to die. What the world? You knew I was going to get attacked by the seat. You, what you doing? What are we doing out here? But there was revelation on the backside of even all that stuff that I went through this week that God actually brought to pass yesterday. Maybe some of the storms that God allows us to go through is something that God wants to reveal to us that he can't reveal to us had we not gone through the storm in the first place. The disciples, they find themselves in this place dealing with this storm, and they're afraid. And not only are they afraid, They help us to see that sometimes when we walk through storms, we can become afraid. And maybe for some of you, it's not a storm that's causing fear, but maybe it's a scenario in a situation in your life that's causing fear right now. For some of us, you might be afraid of what people might say and think about you. For some of us, you might be afraid of your everyday needs being met. Will I have enough money to meet my needs at the end of the month? For some of you, you're afraid of a test that you got to take this week or an exam that you got to take this week. For some of you, you're afraid of that job interview because you're like, man, if I don't get this job, I'm going to be strung out and I'm not going to have any money at all to be able to meet the needs of myself and my family. For some of you, you're afraid in here when you look at all this stuff that's happening in our world and in our country, and you're like, I'm afraid that the government might try to take all my rights away. Some of us are afraid of taking the step of faith that God is calling us to take. For some of you, God is calling you to take the step of faith to go back to school, but you're afraid. For some of us, He's calling you to start a business, but you're afraid. For some of us, He's calling you to pursue that new relationship, but you're afraid of being rejected. For some of you, you're afraid of pursuing the call of ministry on your life. For some, we're afraid of speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For some of us, you look around at the landscape of our world and what's on the news and what's on social media and what's on TikTok, and you're filled with so much fear. Fear, family, is like a virus that spreads all over our body. It is one that can spread to various areas of our life. And some of you are here today in person, online, in the overflow, and you're here today. And if you're honest about it, you're saying, Pastor, I'm here and I'm afraid. Well, I came to church, but I'm scared. I'm scared about what's going to happen next week. I'm scared about what's going to happen to my kids when they go to school. I'm scared about what's going to happen with my family. I'm scared of whether or not I'm going to have enough resources. No matter how much money you have, no matter how experienced you are, I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how big your house is or how big your apartment is and how many cars you have. Fear has a strange way of being able to find us, no matter what our age is, no matter what our background is, no matter how you vote, no matter where you live. Fear is able to find us. All of us will be face to face with fear of some kind. But can I encourage you that in spite of us walking through fearful moments like the disciples in this text, the good news is found in verse 38 of this text. And it says this: Jesus, he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. Okay, y'all didn't get it, just like 9 a.m. Okay, over there. They're in the storm, and Jesus is in the stern, sleeping. He knocked out. Matter of fact, in Matthew's account of the same story, it says he kept on sleeping. You know what I thought? I was like, did he hear the storm? I'm like, I'm going back to sleep. Y'all got this. They're in a storm, and Jesus is in the stern. They're going through this hurricane, if you will, and Jesus is in the boat. Here's what I'm trying to help you understand. Though they were in the storm, Jesus was in the storm with them. They were in the boat, but Jesus was also in the boat. I'm here to let some of you know today that you might be walking through a storm right now, but I'm here to let you know you are not alone in this. Jesus is in the storm right in the middle of it with you. I want you to write this down. Safety, hear me. Safety isn't found in the absence of storms. It is found in the presence of God. Safety, hear me, is not found in the absence of storms, because some of us think that I'm good as long as there's no storms coming. I'm here to let you know, Jesus says, in this life you will have much trouble, but he says, but take heart, I've already overcome the world. Safety is not found in the absence of storms. Safety is found in the presence of God. Can I encourage some of you who are here today and you're walking through some hard moments right now? I know you came in today with a smile on your face, but deep down on the inside, beneath all that exterior, you're scared right now, and you're frustrated right now, and you're angry right now, and you feel confused right now. Can I let you know that even in the midst of all the stuff that you're facing and feeling right now, you are not alone in this. The Lord himself is with you. No matter what it is that you're walking through right now, you are not by yourself. Tell the person beside you, you're not alone. Here's what Isaiah 41 says. I love this verse. Do not fear. Isaiah 41, 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I am your God. God says, I'm for you. I'm with you. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. Can I encourage some of you who are here today and you're walking through some hardships right now? You are not alone in your struggle. You are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your problem. How many of you all are here today and are grateful for the fact that you're not alone in this thing? As a matter of fact, I'm looking at some of y'all today and you can testify, if I were to give you a microphone, that the only reason I am where I am is because the Lord has been with me. I made it to another month because the Lord was with me. I made it through that death situation because the Lord was with me. I overcame depression because the Lord has been with me. Who am I talking to today that can testify to the fact, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Some of y'all will still be in the valley right now. Some of y'all will still be depressed by now, but thanks be unto God that he did not leave you struggling. He did not leave you by yourself. He is with you. Tell the person beside you, he's with you. Matter of fact, he was with you when you were in the doctor's office and got that diagnosis. He was with you. Hear me, students. He was with you even when you failed the tests. But pastor, if he was with me, why he ain't keep me from failing? Did you study? That's one. We gotta talk about that first. I studied, but I failed. But do you also know that he was with you? And do you also know that if he's with you, he can do a Romans 8:28 in that situation, that he's able to work all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? He's with you. I want to let you know that there's nothing that you will ever walk through where the Lord is not with you. He is always with you. He was with you when your money ran out. He was with you when you were going down the wrong path. He was with you when you dated that person that you had no business dating, but he was still there and he still provided for you and he still blessed you. Praise God that we have a God who is with us no matter the storms and no matter the fear that we find ourselves experiencing. And what's also true is that while God is present with us, fear can still come find us. Jesus was in the boat and so was fear. Jesus was sleeping and the disciples were panicking. It lets us know that you can be around Jesus and he can be around you, and still fear can find itself knocking on the door of your heart. One of the most Googled questions out of all Google searches is, what does the Bible say about fear? It lets us know that a lot of us are dealing with fear. A lot of us are wrestling with fear. Many of us are asking, how do I not live in fear anymore? And many of us are fearful of different things. It's not edifying for us to poke fun at what one person might be afraid of versus what another person might be afraid of. All of us are afraid of something. You might be afraid of snakes. The person sitting next to you might be afraid of wasps. That if they saw a wasp in here, they would clear this church out in a heartbeat. I'm gonna let y'all know, if I see one right here, y'all catch the online. Wow. All of us are afraid or prone. Let me say it like this. All of us are prone to be afraid of something. The question is, what is it that we're prone to fear? Can I give you good news that no matter what it is that you find yourselves and what we find ourselves afraid of, freedom from fear is found in Jesus. He is the answer to our fear. Pastor, how can you say that? Did you know that in the Bible, the phrase or the words "do not fear" is found at least 365 times in all of the Bible? Do not fear. It's almost as if God is saying every single day, I want to give you a reminder. Do not fear. Whatever you experience this week at work, do not fear. Whatever happens at school this week, do not fear. Whatever people say, do not fear. Whatever you see on social media, do not be afraid. Whatever you see on TikTok, do not fear. Whatever you see on Instagram, do not fear. And the reason why we can have this confidence of not fearing is because in this text, Jesus gives us a few principles that his presence brings of him being with us in the midst of our fear. Number one, write this down. He gives us hope for our fears. Everybody say hope. Verses 37 through 38 say this: a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. They were overwhelmed. Boat was probably getting ready to sink. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" This is Mark's account of this story. Matthew includes another detail. Same story, different gospel writers oftentimes will include different details, which is why we read all of scripture to get a full picture of what's happening. Matthew not only records this event, but he says something very profound in Matthew 8:25. Verse 25 says this, "So the disciples came and woke him up saying this, 'Lord, save us, we're going to die. Lord, save us, we're going to die.'" Now, we might try to joke the disciples about how afraid they were and be a little insensitive and be like, man, y'all got the whole thing wrong. Can I tell you one thing that they got right in this whole storm? They had enough sense to call on the one who could do something about the fear that they felt and the storm that they were facing. Lord, save us. They had enough sense to call on the one who could do something about the storm they were facing and the fear that they were feeling. And the lesson that we learned is that the greatest thing we can do when we are afraid is to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. And the Lord is our hope in a time of fear, because we can call on him during our time of fear. Can I let you know, God hears your call. Some of us feel like, man, I feel like he's sleeping. No, he's aware. He hears it. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus is knocked out sleeping. Bible says he kept on sleeping. Can you imagine? He's in a deep sleep. And you know how you get when you be in a deep sleep? That drool begins to run down. You ever woke up from a deep sleep and you were all disoriented? Stuff was all dried up on your mouth? That was a great sleep. I hear nothing. And they wake Jesus up. He hears them. They call on him. Lord, save us. Can I let you know that's the greatest thing you could do when you feel afraid? Call on the name of the Lord. So before you go to Instagram, before you go to TikTok, before you go to your boo, before you go to a phone, call on the name of the Lord. When you're afraid, go to the Lord. When you feel fear creeping in, call on the name of the Lord. Here's what Romans 10 says. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. Then it says this, since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him, meaning this, it don't matter what your color is, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make, all can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is not, he is not showing favoritism. No, he says, I will respond to anybody who calls on my name. Whether you're a young person, if you call on my name, I'll hear you and I'll respond to you. If you're a married person, call on his name. If you're single, call on his name. If you're older, call on his name. If you're retired, call on his name. The greatest thing we could do when we feel afraid is to call on his name. Verse 13 says this. Why? Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that exactly what the disciples said? Lord, save us. Have you ever been in a situation where you're saying, Lord, if you don't show up, it won't be fixed. I need you to show up. Anybody ever been in a place of desperation where you say, Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to do this. I can't do it. Anybody, come on, where are my real people at in here? Who can say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't work it away. I can't earn it away. I need you to show up. And here's what I think. I didn't say this in the 9 a.m., but I'm going to say it now. I think sometimes God allows us to go through moments so that we can recognize who, in fact, we're supposed to actually depend on. Yeah. Sometimes God has to take us through storms because he's saying, you depend on yourself too much. You trust you too much. Yeah, you smart, but who gave you that brain? Yeah, you skilled, but who gave you that skill? Sometimes we depend too much on ourselves, and God allows us to go through storms to strip us of self-dependence so that way we can get to a place of God-dependence. And watch this. And some of the reason why we're oftentimes afraid is because we're most afraid of things that we can't control. We can't control it, so we're afraid of it. This is why when the threat of a hurricane comes, even if it's not even going to hit, everybody empties the stores. Right? Because behind some of that is not just wisdom, some of that's fear. Come on. Because we can't control the storm. But can I give you encouragement? But when you know the one who does, you don't have to walk in fear. I want you to write this down. When we are afraid, we can have hope because the God of hope hears us. Here's what Hebrews 6:19 says. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. When you are afraid, family, hear me. You need something that's going to anchor your soul. You don't need some new age philosophy. You don't need some well-known person on social media. No, you need a word from God that's going to anchor your soul in the middle of the thing that you are walking through the most. You need something that's going to hold you down. You need something that's going to anchor your soul. You need something that you can't get from social media. You need something that you can't get from other people. No, you need a word from God. I'm trying to tell some of us in here today that the issue that some of us are having right now, the reason why we're buffeted by the winds of culture and by the winds of way is because you and I are not weighed down by anything of good substance. But when you get the word of God on the inside of you, and when you get a glimpse of who God is, it will anchor your soul. When fear shows up, we call on God. So I want you to know this. When you're afraid, call on the name of Jesus. When you're afraid of what might happen, call on the name of Jesus. We'll call everybody else, but sometimes we'll call Jesus last. When you're afraid of being rejected, call on the name of Jesus. When you're afraid of the test results, call on the name of Jesus. Write this down. When we find ourselves facing fear, we need to turn to the face of God. When you're facing fear, we need to turn to God. Which now leads to the second point. The reason why we turn to God is because not only does he give us hope for our fears, he gives us help for our fears. Everybody say help.
Help.
So verse 39, here's what the Bible says in verse 39. After they woke him up, verse 39, these three words right here. He got up. He got up. Now I get excited about this because in my church upbringing, my pastor would always end his sermons talking about how Jesus got up from the grave on the third day.
Yes.
He got up. Because there's something powerful that happens when God starts moving in your life. When God begins to show up, when God begins to move, things begin to move as well. Things begin to change as well. I'm here to let you know that when Jesus starts moving in your life, that's when addictions can begin to be broken. That's when strongholds can begin to be broken. That's when sickness can get healed. When Jesus gets up and when Jesus starts moving, things start moving. And he says to the storm, silence, be still. Here's the Pastor Edwin translation. Y'all chill out. Calm down. Calm down. Y'all making a whole lot of noise. Calm down. Y'all scaring the boys. Calm down. And here's what the Bible says. And there was a great calm. So what Jesus is doing, he's demonstrating in this moment how the very thing that they're afraid of, he has dominion over.
Amen.
The very thing you're afraid of, God has power over.
Amen.
The thing that you're stressed about, God has power over. Jesus not only hears our fears, but he speaks to our fears. His word is sufficient to settle our fears. Here's what Psalm 46 verse 1 says. God is our refuge and strength. He is a helper who was always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the sea. Here's what the psalm writer is helping us to see in verse Psalm 46. In spite of what's happening around me, I will trust the God who is for me. In spite of how life is crumbling around me, I will have my faith in the one who is for me. We will not be afraid. I'm here to let you know that the Lord is faithful when you call on his name. That the Lord is faithful to help you when you call on his name. When you're afraid of what's going to happen this week, can I encourage you to do this? Call on his name. Because not only does he give you hope for your fear, he will show up. He will make a way out of no way. He will give help for your fear. Y'all, can I let you know that oftentimes the very things that I'm most scared of, when I actually begin to pray and ask God for help, he always shows up. And can I also let you know this? Sometimes he don't do it the way that you expect it.
Amen.
He shows up. Tell the person beside you, he's here to help. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. Write this down. When you know that God is with you, you can have confidence that he is for you. Which now leads to this third point, this last point that I want to give us. That not only does he give us hope, not only does he give us help, he also gives healing for our fears. So look at verses 40 through 41. After Jesus says, winds, y'all calm down. Waves, y'all chill out. Silence, be still. The Bible says there was a great calm. And then in verse 40, here's what Jesus says to the disciples. And this is what I think he's speaking to some of us today. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? He says, do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? It's a rhetorical question because the disciples had seen Jesus do miracles prior to this moment. He showed up before. He's been faithful yesterday. He's done the miraculous. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever that would have taken most people out. He's casted out demons out of people. They saw him do this with their own eyes. He says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Here's the translation I want us to see. Why are you afraid? Haven't you seen me show up in your life in the past?
Yes.
You're afraid of a bill. Didn't I provide for the last bill that you were afraid of? You're afraid of being alone. Wasn't I there with you to comfort you in your time of grief?
Yes.
You're afraid of whether or not people will reject you. He says, the only word that matters is what I say about you. He says, what are you afraid of? Do you still have no faith? And I get it. Many of us in here, myself included, we get spiritual selective amnesia when we see the bug in the closet. We forget. Come on, let's be honest. How many of y'all have seen God answer prayer? Oh my gosh, God, you showed up. And then you get in a situation and you get amnesia. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What you mean what's going to happen? God's going to show up and do it just like he did last time. He's going to be faithful like he was last time. And Jesus said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Jesus got frustrated with the disciples. Yo, how many times do I got to free somebody from a demon for y'all to believe? Do I need to walk on water? I'll do that too. And y'all still don't believe. How much do we have to see God do in our life for us to believe that he is faithful? And here's what the disciples say in verse 41. The Bible says this, and they were terrified. And they asked one another, who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Here's the Pastor Edward translation. Who this dude? Who him? Who is he? The winds obey him. The waves obey him. It's the same God who cast it out. Hey, the same one. The same one that y'all saw. The Bible says they were terrified, but it's interesting here. When you look at that word terrified, it's not the same Greek original translation word that is used for afraid. When Jesus says, when you are afraid or why are you afraid, it speaks of being paralyzed by some sense of feeling of being overwhelmed. But when it says terrified, that's not the same word there. This word means to be in awe, to be in reverence. It speaks of the fear of God. So they've gone from being fearful about a storm to having a greater fear of who God is. Not fear like I'm scared he's gonna do something to me. No, a reverence, a holiness. They're terrified, they're in awe, they're amazed, some translations say. They've gone from panicking to now, to some degree, almost praising. They've gone from being overwhelmed to now being a place of filled with awe. Can I help you understand this? Write this down. Don't forget what Jesus did yesterday because of the storms that you're going through today. Don't forget what he did yesterday because of the storms that you're going through today. I want you to know that Jesus not only calmed the outer storm on the outside of them, he also calmed the inner storm on the inside of them. And can I let you know, the greatest storm that you will deal with is not on the outside of you. It's on the inside of you. It's the storm that's happening in your mind right now. Some of us are right now listening to me preach, and there's a storm right now in your mind. There's a storm right now in your heart. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. Can I let you know, Jesus came to not just settle what's on the outside of you. Jesus came because he wants to settle the storms that are on the inside of you. He wants to speak to the storm that you're carrying right now. He wants to speak peace over your life. He wants to speak healing over your life. He wants you and I to get a greater glimpse of his love. Here's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Why is this so important to understand? Because what was the thing that the disciples said to Jesus? Don't you care? They're appealing to his love. But we know that Jesus loves them. And what happens, though, is fear causes us
to misalign ourselves from the love of God. So the more we focus on circumstances than on his compassion and his love for us, the more we open up ourselves to experiencing fear, which is why John says there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Verse 19, though, says this: we love because he first loved us. Meaning this, when you and I dwell on the fact that we are loved by God, when you and I dwell on the fact that we are clothed by God, when you and I dwell on the fact that we are chosen by God, when you and I dwell on the fact that we are son of God, when you and I dwell on the fact that we are a daughter of God, that we are king's kids, that he has plans to prosper us and not harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. Now what happens is we begin to push back fear as it tries to enter into our life. When you remember how Jesus proved his love for you by going to the cross and shedding his blood on the cross for your sins, past, present, and future, it begins to push out fear. Which means this: the more I rest in God's love for me, the less that fear will have a hold on me. So can I help you understand something? When you and I start having a fear problem, what it really speaks to is you and I having a love problem. We're forgetting how much God loves you. I'm worried about how my bills are going to get paid. Don't you remember that God says, I love you and I will meet every need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus? I'm worried about my health. Don't you remember that God said that by his stripes you are healed? I'm worried about going through this hard moment. Did you not remember what he says in Psalm 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your presence is with me? When we remember God's love for us, the less fear has a grip on us. Here's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. I want to minister to this to our hearts as we get ready to close. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, which means this: if we got fear, it's not from God, it's from the enemy. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Pastor, what has he given us? He's given us one of power. He's given us one of love. He's given us one of sound judgment. Can I encourage some of you all here today to know that God has not given you a spirit of fear? No, he's given you one of power, of love, and a sound mind. I'm here to let you know today, family, that you got the spirit of God living on the inside of you if you say yes to Jesus Christ. And if this is not a spirit of fear, it is one of power, it is one of love, and it is one of a sound judgment and sound mind. Which means this: you might be confronted by fear, but you don't gotta be controlled by it. Fear is not my future. Fear will not have the last word with me. Fear will not be up in my house any longer. I will not let fear dominate my mind anymore. I will not let fear dominate my spirit anymore. No, I will remember what God says about me. He has not given me a spirit of fear. No, he's given me one of power, of love, and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I will trust in his love. I will lean on his love. I rely on his love. My wife said this to me the other day when we were talking about this whole situation, bugs and batteries and all this. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Bugs and batteries, oh my. She said this. She said, if you don't arrest fear, you will be arrested by fear. And I think about the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. I will not be a prisoner to fear any longer. No, I will be the person that God has called me to be. I will walk in faith. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I will walk in faith. The God who created the winds and the waves, he's in this boat with me. He's in this storm with me. And family, what's powerful about this story is that what started off in fear ends in faith. I want you to go back to verse 35. Here's what the Bible says in Mark 4. Let's bring it up on the screen. It says this: let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Bring that scripture up, y'all. Let's cross over to the other side of the sea, Mark 4:35. And then look at what the Bible says in Mark 5:1. They came to the other side of the sea. 35 says, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Let's bring up Mark 5:1. Here's what it says. They came to the other side of the sea. Okay, y'all missed it. Jesus says in verse 35, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Verse 1 of Mark 5 says, they crossed over and came to the other side of the sea.
Okay, y'all still not getting it. Let's cross over. This wasn't a question. This was a declaration that Jesus made. Verse 1, they came to the other side of the sea. Why is this good news for us in here today? Because Jesus has made a declaration over your life that before fear steps in, he has already spoken a word over your life that you're going to make it to the other side of whatever it is that you're afraid of. I'm here to let some of us know that you will make it to the other side. I don't care what it is that the enemy is throwing your way. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I'm here to let you know that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. I'm here to let you know that no matter what it looks like on the outside, I'm here to let you know there is purpose on the other side of this storm. There is purpose on the other side of this pain. I'm here to let you know there's joy on the other side of this sorrow. Here's what this verse shows me. Jesus is faithful to his word. If he said it, it's gonna happen. He said it because he's with you, which means this: you don't have to fear because he said he would provide. It means this: you don't have to fear because he said he will give you strength when you feel weak. It says that you don't have to fear because he said that he is a healer of sickness. I'm here to speak this good word over your life today. You will no longer be a prisoner of fear. No, you got a God who is above fear today. And I just want to know, are there about 10 people right now here today that can say, I will not be held hostage any longer to fear? No, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I will stand on the promises of God. I will stand on the power of God. Come on, who am I talking to today that says, I'm not going to be controlled by fear any longer? No, I'm going to be the person that God has called me to be. I'm going to walk in the victory that God has for me. I'm going to walk in the confidence that God has. So I'm not going to be swayed by what I hear on the news any longer. No, I'm going to be anchored by what God has said. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. Some of you are here today and you have been held hostage by fear. Matter of fact, for some of you, fear stops you from coming to church for a number of years because of things that happened in your past. For some of us, fear has stopped us from pursuing things that God has placed on our heart. But you got to make up in your mind, man, that you're going to say, I'm not going to be afraid no more. And I'm not standing on my word, I'm standing on his. The one who is able to control the winds and the waves. The one who can say, peace be still. He's giving you power. So I told you about that bug. Beginning of the sermon, Ariel said, I will not live in fear in my own house. And praying, calling down heaven, if you're not dead, come out in Jesus' name so I can kill you. I am not exaggerating. Those were his exact words. Exact words. Next day comes. I get up in the morning. She's in the back room reading her word, sitting on the couch. She says to me, I got it. I got what?
The bug.
I killed the bug. I said, for real? I was like, dog. She's like, yeah, it's over there in the corner. So, you know, I'm in this moment like, I don't need to go look, you know what I mean? Like, might still be alive, you know? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that ain't no bug. Like, because it was like all mangled up. And so, I'm like, yo, where's the bug? She was like, right there. So she came over there. It's right, the very thing I'm looking at. I'm like, yo. She was like, you didn't hear me killing that bug? I said, no. So she said, you didn't hear me? I had my slipper, and I'm hammering that bug. Wah, 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 wah. That's exactly what she's saying. I said, what she was doing? Wah, 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 wah. She was like, you didn't hear? I said, I was knocked out. Sleep. Didn't hear nothing. And I'm like, what happened? She was like, it started crawling up the wall. I said, I got you. And went to it and killed it. And I'm like, yo, the Lord really brought this joint out.
That's right.
And she killed it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
While she reading the word, while she praying, can I let you know the power of God brings fear out? The word of God draws fear out. And can I let you know, can I speak this over some of your lives? Just as she killed this bug in the natural, the Lord has given you power to begin to kill off fear in other areas of your life. There are some things that the Lord wants you to walk in victory. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. All these things that you're afraid of, they are under his feet. So you don't have to walk in fear. But Pastor, I don't know how this is going to work out. You don't have to. He does.
I don't know how I'm going to make it to the other side. You don't have to. He does. So we trust in him with his bowed and eyes closed in this moment. If you're here today and you find yourself bound by fear, I want you to know in Jesus' name, you can be free from it. Jesus not only has the answers to fear, he is the answer to fear. And for some of you, you've been trying to walk this life free from fear. Can I let you know you can't do it without Jesus? You need him. He is the answer. And I want you to know this. I want to encourage some of you who are here today. I know we're over time in this moment, but some of you came today filled with a lot of fear. I want you to know that in Jesus' name, you can be free from that. You can't control it coming to your door. But what you can control is what you do when it comes to the door. Amen. And the best thing you could do is turn to Jesus. And so some of you are here today and you've never turned to Jesus. You've never given him your life. Can I let you know that Jesus came to give his life on the cross for your sins and mine, past, present, and future, that any person who would trust in him would receive new life. Which means this, you no longer have to do things on your own. No, he is your Lord. He is your Messiah. He is your Savior. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And some of you, that's what you need to do. So if you're here today under the sound of my voice, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't know Jesus, if you never said yes to him, here's what I want you to do. On a count of three, you want to give your life to him. You want to start new with him. You want a new beginning with him. On a count of three, would you shoot up your hand? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hands all over the building. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. I just want to see you. Come on, you want to give your life to Jesus, wherever you are. It's time for you to be free from fear. It's time for you to be free from the power of sin. Come on, wherever you are. If you're online, if you're in the overflow, lift up your hand, wherever you are. For every hand lifted in this place, I want to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. Because all who call on his name will be saved. So if you raise your hand, online, in person, wherever you are, I want you to say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for freeing me from fear. Thank you for your salvation. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family. I saw a lot of hands go up. Can we celebrate those? Come on, can we go crazy right now?